Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Bic Book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading in the Big Book, page 14, Bill's story, the second paragraph down, beginning with, "These were revolutionary and drastic proposals," through one paragraph ending, "His impact on me was sudden and profound." The comments will be on that one paragraph only. The 12 steps, here are the readers for today. The 12 steps are Susan G. The 12 traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text are Leslie M., Ann S.C.H., and Julie E.B. The share ID for Tuesday, January 20th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,140. That's 23140. And Wednesday, January 21st, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,142. That's 23142. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and our announcements person is Robin P., and thank you all for your service. All right, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me give some service, and I'll be back.
Thank you very much. That's Susan G., and she's from Tennessee. The 12 traditions, I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Joanne.
Thank you very much, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and thanks a million, Mo. Thanks for your service.
Well, thank you very much. That's Joanne L. from Rhode Island. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Bill's story on page 14. It's the second paragraph down. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, ending with, "But his impact on me was sudden and profound." And I will now ask Leslie M. to begin reading. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory, followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. I have to say that I am one of the people that has had my spiritual awakening has been gradual. It took, it was the educational variety. So I have to remember that, spiritual awakenings come to different people, different ways, and I'm grateful. I did also think in the beginning that, if I didn't have one of those big wow moments, those big aha moments, that it wasn't going to make any difference. but I have found that that is not true. And the other thing that really speaks to me in this is in this paragraph is the great clean wind of the mountaintop blew through and through. And I was lucky enough many years ago, about 25, 26 years ago, to live in Yosemite National Park for 2 years. And, you know, it always makes me think about that and the solitude and the beauty, you know, that was around me at that time. And, you know, I wasn't recovered then, but I'm very grateful to be recovered now and to have the experiences that I'm having in my life. Actually, I'm babysitting today for my 4-year-old great nephew. And I know that without being abstinent and recovered, that I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have these people in my life today. So, you know, even though they were revolutionary and drastic proposals, I have come to believe that this is what I need to do. And I'm grateful to have known that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Leslie M. All right. So I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 14, second paragraph. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, ending with, "But his impact on me was sudden and profound. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too." Who would like to share?
Joy from B, California.
Susanna A, California.
Oh. Wait a minute. I heard Jody E from California. There was somebody before Jody. There was somebody before Julie.
Avi. Joy V from California.
Avi. I got you, Avi. Okay, Avi V. And then somebody from California.
Joy M. Donna from California.
Joy?
Yes.
Joy M. Joy. E. Joy. Gotcha.
Joy V from San Jose.
Donna from California.
And then I heard Julie E. B. Was there Julie? Were you on there, Julie?
Yep.
Okay, who else?
Diana Y. from Philly.
Oh, God help me. Philly. I heard Philly.
Yeah, Diana Y.
Okay, gotcha, Diana.
Julie B. Donna from Orangetown, WC.
I heard a Julie B. and somebody WC.
Michelle WC.
Oh. Michelle? Was that Michelle's? WC.
Yeah,
all right,
Michelle.
Let's stop
Michelle
there.
WC.
I'm getting frustrated here. Michelle,
Donna,
WC.
Donna.
All right, I'll take you, Donna. That's it. Everybody else mute. All right, I have kind of a mess here. I have a Julie. I can't remember what your last initial was. Julie. Anyway, you'll tell me when you get on here. All right, I have Jody E, Avi V, Joy M B, Julie E B, Diana Y, a Julie, Michelle M C, W C, and a Donna. And when you get on, please give us your last initial and the state you are calling from. Everyone mute except Jody E. Phew.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mo. My name is Jody E., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. I received a call recently from someone who was new, and her sponsor had suggested that she make some outreach calls and ask people who were recovered their favorite part of Bill's story. And this is the paragraph that is my favorite part of Bill's story. I think the reason is that I can really relate to it. I had a spiritual experience many years ago at an OA convention, a world convention in San Francisco. I think it was 1995. And every workshop and meeting I wandered into was on step three. That I think it was probably a Saturday. And I really needed step three in that moment. I was very unsure what to do with my life. And I somehow really turned my will in my life over to the care of God that Saturday. And I had this experience that he describes. There was a sense of victory, followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. There was utter confidence. I felt literally lifted up, as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. Literally, I felt as I was walking that my feet weren't touching the ground. It was amazing. It lasted for 2 weeks, which is actually a pretty long time to have a spiritual experience like that last. But it did eventually go away. It went away, I believe, because I started to think, oh dear, this is going to go away. And I also didn't continue with the rest of the steps. I just kind of rested there on step 3. And I had a fantastic experience, and I will never forget it. And it has never left me either, although in the literal sense it has, but I have it with me. So it increased my faith tremendously in higher power, and it gave me this confidence that if I continue to walk in this surrender to my higher power and to continue with the rest of these proposals, that I can live in that certainty and that serenity that comes from abandoning myself to God as I understand God, which is not always all that well. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Jody is from California. Up next is Avi V, followed by Joy MB. Let us know where you're calling from, Avi.
Hi, everyone. This is Avi V from Vancouver, BC, Canada. Oh, my goodness. This paragraph, it takes me back to the moment I experienced, well, the spiritual experience. It was about 2 years ago, and I was on my couch sobbing because I had just come to after another binge, after passing out and coming to feeling so hungover. And I'm a recovering alcoholic, 25 years clean and sober, so I know what it's like to come to after a drunk. And I just felt so desperate and so broken. And I just was sobbing, just with everything. My body was vibrating. And I just said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't live this way. I'm killing myself. And I just, with everything, I said, please, please relieve me of this, please. And I, to this day, I was somebody that couldn't go 20 minutes without putting what I call recreational sugar in my face. And that includes through the night, because I kept food in my night table and I put food in my mouth through the night. And at that moment, something relieved me of that compulsion and that obsession, because from that moment, I have been completely neutral about recreational sugar. I haven't had the pull for it. I haven't eaten it. And you know how our book says we recoil as if from a hot flame. There isn't even any recoiling because I just don't care. There's just nothing there. And that is such a gift. That is not owed to me in any way. It is absolutely a gift. And the feeling, the calm feeling that came over at that moment, and I knew that I wasn't alone, and I know that I'm not alone. But that's not to say now. So I'm working my way towards the awakening because, and that's the thing, right? With abstinence and with recovery, we have the behavior. So I'm completely neutral with my alcoholic foods. Like that, there's no pull, but the behaviors are confounding to me. I'm a volume eater. I weigh and measure. I report my food and I struggle, and I have relapsed multiple times on volume. And I pray to God to please relieve me of this. And I'm a work in progress. I'm an absolute work in progress. And that's okay because I stay curious. And I learn and I try to walk through. I choose to walk through with humility. Not perfectly, certainly not, because my last binge, my last relapse was on a couple ounces of spinach, steamed spinach. And I mean, sorry, I try not to mention food, but that's the thing, that's the nature of this disease, because it's not the food that we relapse on, it's the decision to take my will back. And that's something that I'm learning, but I hold on to that spiritual experience, that feeling, that calm, because I know that God is always with me. And I loved seeing some of you this past weekend, and I adore this meeting, so thank you. Thank you so much, Mo.
Yeah, thank you. Perfect timing. That's Avi V from BC, Canada. Up next is Joy MB, followed by Julie EB. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you so much for taking this meeting and for all the service that you do and for the whole team. Joy MB from Northern California. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm definitely in recovery. And my interaction with higher power came May of 2024. I had been listening to vision meetings for at least a couple of years and partially making the trip. I had gone the steps once and I thought, who me? And I was in the hospital because at 360 pounds, I was not processing food. I was told that it takes 136, I think, your USB at a certain rate of intake of salt, another word for it anyhow, but I wasn't doing it, I wasn't processing it. And suddenly on day about 15th of the stay in the hospital, I just started to eat a lot less and stop. And I started turning down things and they said, yeah, but you're going to have to eat this, that, or the other. I said, no, but I can't. That's not what I eat. And I turned down everything that wasn't in the line of what I as a vision member. And it dawned on me, as time went on, I was losing weight. They checked me out of the hospital after about 10 more days. They said, do you realize how much weight you've lost there? And no, I didn't realize it. And it just came over me. My connection with higher power was there. It was just there. And I felt differently. I talked to people differently. And to this day, people say, what a different person you are. You don't judge us. You don't tell us what to do. You're not in charge anymore. I am so grateful for this program, the Visions program. Trust me when I tell you, I had done OA for at least 40 years. In every basement, I tried every possible way to lose. And it was this sudden occurrence. And I am so grateful. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Joy MB from Northern California. Up next is Julie EB, followed by Diana Y. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie EB, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, sudden and revolutionary, drastic. These are some of the words that occur and affect. It's electric. I was recently talking to someone that was sobbing, you know, as we say here, snot nose crying in the food and suffering, you know, back, feeling like, oh, my back hurts because I'm fat. And I'm talking to this person and they're like, and I just tend to go to extremes. And so they do know of this program. And they did this program for several years. But just letting go of just one thing, for example, like sugar, just seems so extreme to them now that they're just trying to walk the middle line. My disease is extreme. You know, if you've ever tried to live over 100 pounds overweight, it's extreme. And the body wants to hold on to that with all the body, the mind, the spirit wants to hold on to that way of life. And so in some ways, my program is extreme. You know, I've done it for almost 9 years. And in some ways, it's extreme because I don't eat the same thing other people do. But I eat what works for me. I know what my, allergic foods, ingredients, or behaviors are. And for me, it's not extreme to avoid these things, and the effect is electric. And the same is true once I get the food cleared out of the way. I start having all these feelings, all this struggle that I was eating over before. And those things are very extreme for me also. So finding a higher power that cares for me and is always with me and is more gracious than me has gently moved me in what is both electric but also so gentle a way towards just being loved as I am, one step at a time. So thanks for letting me share my path.
Well, thank you very much. That's Julie E.B. from Colorado. Up next is Diana Y., followed by another Julie. Good morning, Diana.
Hey, good morning. Wow, I am so happy to be reading this paragraph because it describes me exactly, especially the word never known, never. I never knew a peace like I experienced when I first had the willingness to believe in God, because my entire time up till about 10 years ago, I wasn't willing. And I was able to give my severely autistic son to God to take care of, because I was going crazy with stress because I couldn't control the situation. I didn't know what to do, and it was killing me with stress, literally. And also the sudden and profound impact that God had on me. Those are the those two words, sudden and profound, describes my experience that God took away my obsession and craving for sugar in a split second. And I could feel it. And it was profound. I guess a spiritual experience. And I've never gone back. God is in my life constantly. I constantly think of God, and also about how God show me how I can help others. That's very important to me. And I don't know where I'd be without this big book. And letting me know that I had to have a higher power in my life or the program would not work for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Diana, why? Where are you calling from?
Philly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Diana Y. from Philly. Up next is Julie. I didn't get your last initial, followed by Michelle W.C. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. This is Julie B. from Oregon. There's a lot of Julies in this meeting, so I'm thinking we should just start our own group called A Vision for Julie. So, just saying. oh, man. Thank you for your service, everybody. This paragraph is so powerful, and I just want to back up to the sentence right above it, which says, a price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. Like, we have to destroy our ego first before we can feel that clean wind off a mountaintop blow through us, which is what we want. We want that clear, crisp freedom of the wind blowing through us, but we have to destroy our ego first because that's the blockage. I've been struggling lately with relationship with my brother and sister-in-law. Ever since my mom died, there's been a lot of bad in this triangle of the three of us. And doing my step four, I have tried and tried and tried to make amends for my part, tried to rebuild the relationship, tried to, you know, apologize and be kind and all of these things. To the point where I'm sort of obsessing about it. Like, why won't they forgive me? You know, like, what can I do? Maybe I'll send them a check. Maybe I'll send them flowers. Like, what do I, you know, I kind of like obsessively going over and beyond the steps 4 through 9 or whatever they are. And I can't even sleep. I can't stop. So, and that's no different for me obsessing over sugar. It's the same part of my brain. I've been doing a lot of two-way prayer lately, and I'm really grateful to all my sisters who are having conversations with me about two-way prayer. And this morning when I put all this out in front of God, this is what I get back. God says to me in my journal, don't overthink it. Don't beat yourself up. Let it go, and I love you. You know, that's exactly what I needed to hear God say to me. Just kind of let it go. I'm not going to overthink it anymore, and I'm not going to beat myself up. I know I've done what I can, and now I just need to move on. And I don't know if this is God's will or mine, but I finally blocked them from my phone because the texts have been so hurtful, and I can't deal. Maybe it's a temporary block, you know, but I've got to get control. No, there I go. I have to let God get control of my ego so I can feel that cool wind. So thank you, everybody, so much. Love you all. This is Julie B. from Oregon. Have a great day.
I pass. Yeah, thank you very much, Julie B. from Oregon. Up next is Michelle W.C., followed by Donna. And after Donna, I will be able to take another lineup of names. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle W.C., California. And the sentence that stood out for me today was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. And, you know, just in my day yesterday, I had two instances where I had, you know, sense of victory and a piece of peace and serenity. At the first was at, you know, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was feeling hungry. I mean, that's right in between lunch and dinner, and my mind was trying to justify a snack that I did not commit. And instead, I did I picked up the tool, the telephone. I did an outreach call, and I realized what was going on for me. It was that I was worried about my husband. He had a job interview that was just a disappointment for him yesterday. And I was worried about him being depressed. And then the second instance yesterday was, you know, I was on the way to my big book in person meeting, and there was an accident on the bridge to get to the meeting. And at first I was like, oh, I'll be a little bit late. I'm going to just, you know, I don't want to show up being all frazzled from being late. I will, I'll listen to a recording of another OA meeting. And so I did that. And I just really felt this sense of peace and serenity, and like 50 minutes just flew by. And then I realized, well, okay, I'm not going to even be able to make it to this meeting at this point in time. And I just kind of surrendered to that moment. And I listened to another podcast, another recording. And again, this feeling of peace and serenity, like, okay, life is giving me lemons and I'm going to make some lemonade here. I'm going to just do what I can do to pass the time and be in a state of peace and be with God, even though I'm not able to be with the fellows I was looking forward to being with. And then as I was driving past, I finally, you know, traffic started moving. And I drove past this silver car that was totaled. It looked like this giant pile of aluminum foil. It was unrecognizable what car it was. And I just had this feeling of peace and like just praying for, you know, that person and the people that were involved in that car wreck, how, you know, how much pain they must be in, and just wanting to, you know, be what I could to be of service. And here I was, someone who was minorly inconvenienced by sitting traffic for 2 hours, listening to some beautiful OA podcasts, and I was feeling a sense of peace and, you know, just praying for those people that were involved. And I felt a sense of victory that I, you know, I got home, I was still abstinent. I, you know, I didn't pick up any food. I wasn't cranky or yelled at my kids for not doing the dishes when I came home. I was present, and I think that's what we're looking for in this program, or at least I was, you know, that return to sanity. And that's all I have to say. Michelle W.C. in
California. Well, thank you very much. That's Michelle W.C. in California. And before I take Donna, let me remind everybody where we are. We're in Bill's story, page 14, the second paragraph down, beginning with, "These were revolutionary and drastic proposals ending with, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. And after Donna, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Donna. Please give me your last initial because I didn't get it.
Good morning. I'm Donna B. from cold and icy Massachusetts. I know a lot of you from California. Wow. But the sun is out, so I have to look at the bright side. Gee, you guys said it all on this paragraph. The peace and serenity with a sense of victory. It feels so good. What I have to say is God comes to some of us differently. For me, it was gradually. But I have to ask him. I have to ask him for his help and support. Our program is spiritual. No human power could relieve us of this horrible disease. This disease that's killing many people. But God will if we ask him. So let's have that clean wind on the mountaintop and let go and let God help us today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. That is Donna B. from, she said,
Massachusetts.
Thank you very much. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? I can take about three names.
Joanne L.
Robin
P.
I heard Joanne L. Who was Robin after her? B. Robin B.
Dana P.
Dana? Was there a Dana? Dana P. All right, let's stop there, please. And if I can, if I have time, I'll take another person. Joanne L., Robin B., and Dana P. And please let us know where you're calling from. Everyone mute except Joanne L. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Mo, once again, and thank you so much for your service. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. I agree with Donna. We're right next door to each other, and it's freezing here. I just want to say about this paragraph, you know, never, ever, ever, never, ever give up. Because I've been in this program for, it seems like a million years, and I had a spiritual experience that happened to me with the alcohol, the smoking, the drugging, everything, 32 years ago. And it just got removed from me because I got on my knees and I yelled out for help to God, and he removed it. Right that second. Never again did I ever want any of those substances ever again in my life. Now, with the food, it has taken a while. I had a spiritual awakening. Now, there's a difference between the experience and the awakening. The experience happens suddenly, and the awakening is a lot longer. And I just want to suggest that you read The Spiritual Experience, and that's on page 567 to 568 in the fourth edition. And but, you know, it didn't matter that I couldn't get this thing with the food because God has me here for a reason. And I knew because he took away all those other substances that if I just keep on coming, I kept on coming and coming, I had sponsors. It wasn't that. It was I didn't have a relationship with God. I mean, I was brought up Catholic, and I always went to church and everything else, and I thought that I was a holy roller. But no, it's a relationship with God. And so now today I do. But it took me a long time to get there. And I pray a lot. But, you know, when I go into, like, supermarkets, it doesn't matter how long I've been in this program, I say, not your aisle, not your food. Don't go there. Stop flirting. You know, I sometimes still have to do that no matter what. And it's okay. Just never, ever leave this program. You know, it's so good to know that I live to eat today. Well, I eat to live, rather, and not live to eat. Did I say that right? I live to eat but not eat to live. Yes, okay, I think I said that right. And that's my purpose today. You know, I don't have to worry about the food every single second of the day anymore because I walk hand in hand with God. And I'm going to say that old saying, I came in for the vanity, I came in for the vanity, but stayed for the sanity. And I'm so grateful that I did. So please, never, ever give up. Just keep coming. Thank you, Mo. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. That's Joanne L. from Freezing, Rhode Island. Up next is Robin, and I think I got your last initial wrong, Robin. Please give it to me.
That's okay.
Robin.
Thank you, Mo. It's Robin T., like terrific. And
okay.
Thank you. I'm calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts, Eastern Time, and maybe someone else did this already, but I looked up revolutionary, which is involving or causing a complete or dramatic change. And the dramatic, the drastic, is a radical and extreme. And I have to say, I have had sudden and profound experiences with my higher power. I really have. But the longer one, the gradual one, has been coming and coming and coming as a result of working these steps and seeking my higher power. And I think I go through every single day, I go through a daily human revolution of giving up on my self-reliance, because that's what it takes for me. And when I do that, and when I do service and reach out to others, I feel complete. I do feel this confidence and comfort and humility, because I have an opportunity to completely transform the isolation and loneliness that this disease brought me. So with that, I will pass. I love all of you and have a great day.
Well, thank you very much. That is Robin T. from, I think you said, Massachusetts. All right. Dana P., you're up next.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much.
Yeah, there's some people unmuted. Someone's unmuted. Sorry, Dana.
Okay,
thank you.
Go ahead. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can do.
All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks so much, Mo, for your service and everyone else doing service on the line. And everyone who called in today, especially if you're new, keep coming back. You know, this is where it's at right here. And just really, really grateful on this paragraph. Well, all the paragraphs in the book, but this one is significantly profound. You know, this experience he had. And who knows, he was in the hospital. They were doing all kinds of treatments. He might have been on something. I know I've had spiritual experiences on something in other times in my past. But really, you know, that's what we're talking about here. And certainly Carl Jung talked about it. The only thing that's really going to save you is a spiritual experience when he was working with alcoholics. For me, you know, I hear people talking about the food and how their life changed around food, and mine significantly has. But what is profound and amazing is this sometimes quickly, sometimes slow, this experience of progress, not perfection. And the thing that I have learned and continue to learn that is the most significant and profound for me is that I'm not, you know, it's not about killing the ego or getting rid of the ego. You know, that is part of my personality. It's in the transformation of that. And I heard somebody on the line saying that, you know, all the different things I tried to make things better and tried to make things different. And the only thing I can do is turn to God and ask God for that transformational experience. One example of that is this experience I had yesterday with a fellow I spoke to. And I was so concerned about one little thing I said around politics, and I realized I needed to go do some research, and I did that. I got a great big resentment, did a 10-step, and in the process of doing that 10-step, what I really noticed is how significant this idea is to me of image management and looking for someone else outside myself to make me okay. And that is the most beautiful thing that God showed me. So I get to do some more work with that. Just really, really grateful today. I hope some of that made sense, or any of that made sense or was helpful to someone here on the line. And I'm Dana P. in California. I'm going to pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dana P. Yes, that made sense to me. Thank you very much. All right, we have time for one more share. Who would like to share?
Jackie D., Massachusetts.
Jackie D., you're it. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Oh, that worked out perfect. I was pressing pound one last time. You didn't hear me. Okay, that's okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jackie D. I'm from Massachusetts. I feel like everybody from Massachusetts is checking in. So I haven't spoken on vision in a really, really long time, so I'm just kind of reaching out quick. Mm-hmm. I love this paragraph, revolutionary. That was the word that I was. That's what these steps do. They have a very profound change on us. Like, it talks about it on another page too, I think page 27, where we were once one way. Our ideas, attitudes, and emotions were once one way, but now they're a different way, having worked the steps. I'm in another program, and I've been working the steps for years and years, but I'm actually coming back to OA. I have 4 days abstinent, 3 days abstinent, I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm just really trying to use the tools, get connected, speak on the meetings, which is just not like me to do. But I took the day off from work today, so I'm sitting here listening intently and really want to just try to get connected and get my name out there. It also talks about in this paragraph, the moment I fully accepted them, right? And that includes step one. So the past 3 days, I've been just in my head constantly, I'm powerless over food. I'm powerless over food. Like, just completely saying that to myself the whole time. And saying, God's will be done, God's will be done, not mine, not mine. So a day at a time, this has helped me. I'm just really glad to be on the meeting, and I hope everybody has a wonderful and blessed day. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That is Jackie D. from Massachusetts. Thank you. Thank you very much. Excuse me, I'm getting a call. I don't know what to do. Oh, there, go there. All right. So thank you very much, everyone, for your service. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask, is that Anne, S-C-H, to read A Vision for You? Thank you.
Yes, Mo. Yes, Mo. Thank you so much, everyone. Good morning. My name is Anne S.C.H. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.